हठ योग टेक्स्ट्स कंसिडर द हियरिंग ऑफ द अनाहत एज द फाइनल पॉइंट ऑफ हठ योग. We discussed it yesterday. You close your ears and listen intently in your right ear. And you hear some sound, and as you go on, and as the nadis are getting more and more purified, it is said that you will hear progressively finer and more subtle sounds. And allowing the mind to be totally merged in that sound itself is the consummation of Hatha Yoga. Some other contemplations are also mentioned. Yesterday we discussed that when you focus your attention, not fix, but focus your attention upon the various chakras, the chakra that is in tune with the earth element, water element, fire element, they are also described in some Hatha Yoga scriptures, where one who is completely merged, as it were, in contemplation on the earth chakra is not harmed on by any earth element. One who has completely merged himself in the water element cannot drown, that sort of thing. Again, there is just a little confusion if you watch very carefully. All of them seem to indicate some kind of mastery over natural elements, and mastery does imply the retention of the ego sense. The ego says, I can walk on water. Cosmic consciousness does not say, I can walk on water. Cosmic consciousness is under water, inside water, it is water, it's above water, everywhere. It's the ego that says, I can walk on water, I can lift a mountain, that sort of thing. And these are also mentioned as the fruits of intense contemplation on one or the other of these psychic centers. However, this is above all these magic ritual, merging in the sound, Nadanusandhana, it's called Nadanusandhana. It is adoration of the sound, contemplation of the sound, of the inner sound. And the sound is also represented at the same time by color. The whole universe being composed of name and form together. Name is form and form is name. These two are indistinguishably one, identical. They are not two different things. You cannot conjure up the word water without water appearing in your mind's eye. So the name and the form are identical. And even so in the case of all these sounds that one hears, each sound has got its own corresponding light. I saw that in Montreal some time ago. Something like jukebox. Not exactly jukebox. There's a music box which goes on playing, and it is electronically transmitted onto something like a television screen, where you see a splash of colors. They say that sound itself is reinterpreted in terms of color. We all seen it. I doesn't matter what it is called, jukebox. That's the idea, that every vibration has a sound value and a color value. When the vibration is apprehended by the ear, it is heard as sound. When the same vibration is seen by the eyes, it is experienced as color. Once you have sort of digested that, you suddenly see a whole new dimension opening up. That's the reason why they use all these mantras and the corresponding deity. That is their argument. That if you repeat Om Namah Shivaya, the Om Namah Shivaya itself, the sound itself forms a certain form, and you must adhere to that corresponding form, not another one. That's another view. Once you get into these, you get lost. Therefore, that is the consummation, as it were, of Hatha Yoga, the Nada, contemplation of the Nada. And it is in order that this Nada or inner sound can be heard without distortion that the nadis are purified. You see now the whole thing rolling down. In order that this sound may be heard clearly, and in order that my whole being may be absorbed in that sound, the inner mystic sound, when my whole being is absorbed in that inner mystic sound, the ego sense is dispersed and there is liberation, there is freedom. In order that that may happen, it is important that the nadis should be pure. Otherwise, the sound is not heard properly. The nada is distorted. If the nadis are not purified, pure, the nada is not heard. In order to purify the nadis, I must practice pranayama. And when I practice pranayama, I must have a clear idea of Ida, Pingala, and the Sushumna and all the chakras involved in it. And I must also know where and how the obstruction has taken place in the flow of prana. And in order that all this can be affected and the pranayama can be practiced properly, I must practice asanas. And in order that the asanas can be practiced and the pranayama can be practiced effectively, I must practice all these purificatory processes, purify the body, the neti, dhauti, etc., etc. So the whole thing is one block. Having this laya or total absorption in this nada. Laya is absorption, dissolution. The entire personality must once again be dissolved in this nada. And that is when the point returns to its center. The spiraling is distorted music, cacophony, and when this spiral returns, there is progressive absorption, dissolution, and then finally you come to that point where you hear the nada and you are absorbed in it. And the final point is also called Bindu. Bindu is the final point, which was also the beginning. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning, I am the end. That is from where the whole process spiraled out And that is where the whole thing dissolves. That final point, Bindu. However, this Gairanda Samhita also suggests three types of meditation. The Gairanda Samhita to some extent follows Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga. Others do not, they ignore all that. The Gairanda Samhita follows the Ashtanga of Patanjali to some extent. And three forms of meditation are described. I'll explain them to you, and then finally, before closing, I'll read the relevant chapter. It's only a small, brief one. It's very interesting. The three types of dhyana are known as sthula dhyana. Sthula is gross. And jyoti dhyana. Jyoti is light. And sukshma dhyana. Sukshma. What is sukshma? Sukshma is the opposite of sthula. Sthula is gross and sukshma is subtle. An extremely subtle form of meditation. As a matter of fact, even though I said that this follows the pattern of Raja Yoga, this sthula dhyana or meditation on a gross form almost leads us to what can be termed bhakti, devotion. And we do not know who the author was and what kind of cultural background he had. He describes a type of contemplation that is quite common amongst certain classes of devotees in India. You know, this is quite a common practice. Visualize in your heart a nice lovely temple with a lovely golden dome, etc., etc. And in that, right in the center of it, visualize a lotus, full-blown lotus, and in the center of that, a radiant thing, pedestal, throne, bejeweled, dazzling throne, and on it, all the superlatives, so that the mind is easily attracted to this thing. And on that throne, visualize that your deity, whatever it is, but they don't say your deity, they prescribe a deity for you to contemplate. And when you come to that, you see that that was his deity. So that a Christian may say that put Jesus Christ on, it's like our revelations. Put Jesus Christ on it. A Buddhist might say it must be a Buddha. That is something that with which he is familiar, something which has been part of his experience. His experienced reality. And visualize this deity is seated on the throne, ready to grant all your boons and ready to dispel all your fears. This is the common feature. All these gods must guarantee these two. They must grant all my boons and they must dispel my fears. Why not face the fears and get rid of them? Why must I go to God for? Let's see. This is the sthula dhyana. My mind is gross. My mind is not subtle. My mind is not capable of entering into the subtle regions. So it is gross, I am body bound, I am body conscious, so I cannot completely jump on my own shoulders. That's not possible. However great an acrobat you may be, it's very difficult for you to jump on your own shoulders. So don't try that. Realize in what stage of development you are and adapt your meditation to suit that stage of development. So, since all that I know of myself is that I am a body, gross, physical, material, use a materialistic approach towards the truth also. And therefore, though you realize that this earth is extremely subtle, is not what it appears to my gross eyes to be, it is also a mass of dancing electrons. It's subtle, it's energy. Yet I, in my present state of development, I see this gross earth, solid earth. And therefore, let me contemplate on God also as something solid, on the Supreme Spirit also as something solid. No harm in it. As long as you don't hold this book on the head of everybody else and use it as a stick to beat everybody up, so this is what has been prescribed here, so you must also do exactly the same thing. Poor man, he has not seen an ocean. It's said there, visualize an ocean. And I know of some people who had never seen an ocean before. Perhaps you've got some here. In this part of the world also, it's possible, yes? People who have never travelled.
Alan Watts was talking about a specific type of yoga or of yoga meditation that is signified by a diamond, meaning the reality and hardness of the diamond.
Yeah, Vajra. And I was reminded of a Swami, one of the disciples of Swami Sivananda, who travelled with him during his All India tour. He was born in the Himalayas and he was brought up in the Himalayas. And he was about few years younger than I was. About 30. And for the first time somewhere in Puri we went to the beach and he was fascinated. He said, "My God, how does the ocean come up like this?" I was fascinated by the waves. I was looking at it. I was born near the sea and I had seen the sea since my childhood. But he was fascinated by this jumping up and coming towards. So it's improper to force the same type of visualization on everybody else. One must find one's own. I'm not talking in terms of your culture versus my culture. Even what is called my culture, there are 1,000 variations. Even in what you call your culture, there are 1,000 variations. Some people like the crucifix and some people don't like the crucifix. Some people like the human figure there, some people don't like the human figure. Some people don't even like a thing called a cross. So each one will have to find out from one's own inner predisposition, having understood the basic doctrine, the philosophy of it. I am body conscious, gross, physical at present, and therefore I need a physical symbol. On which the mind can easily rest and be focused. That's the only principle.